This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Strong talk, Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 11th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here with Scally. How you doing, Scally?
Hello, hello. I'm good. I feel like we talked about this just a second ago, but in case people were not on social media yesterday or, you know, didn't check any news outlets that may have covered this, very sadly, Nikki Graham passed away just recently, which broke yesterday. So that was not fun news to find out. Nikki's one of the best all-time reality TV personalities. Huge loss. Sad to see that she was suffering on, you know, the last year and plus. But yeah, not a fun day for that.
Yeah. Nikki, of course, was on Big Brother Canada 4 and was a big favorite, I think, of a lot of people. It was so much fun. On the season, she was a legend already in Big Brother UK, and had so much energy and light, and really was really one of the most entertaining, I think, house guests on the feeds that I can remember. So very, very sad to have seen that she was struggling, and then now that she has passed away much too young, and it's very unfortunate.
Very. Yeah, if people have not seen her Big Brother UK seasons, she's the absolute star. There's no question. Like, the moment she goes on, highly recommend going. Just watch any Nikki content. There's like best of Nikki's. Like, she's like basically no one else you've ever seen on screen. She is absolute star, and it tragically lost her, like you said, way too young.
But we must continue on here. We are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 43 in the house, and it was quite a day here. As we go through, this season does not want to pull any punches, and we're going to see some interesting stuff here, Scally.
Oh, it was an interesting day for sure. There was, you know, as soon as we had found out who the HOH was, it was a little nerve-wracking. Like, you know, this I am personally very much enjoying the Jed and Ty side of things, but worried about a straightforward week, but never a straightforward week with the trio, of course.
Yes. All right. Well, so obviously, Jed is the HOH. The plan is to put Tina and Tara on the block, but there has been some rumblings of what if we backdoored Brayden this week, because he has been doing well in competitions. We started the day yesterday basically with a lot of Brayden complaining. And this is because Brayden won't leave them alone. So Brayden is basically following the trio around. Like they are like trying to find spots where they can just hang out by themselves and just like talk or make out or whatever it is they want to do. Like they will go up to the HOH room and like they'll be like, okay, finally we can talk. And then a couple minutes later, Brayden will walk in, and then they'll slowly siphon out of the HOH room. They'll go down to like the Expedia room, but like the back Expedia room, the second one that Kiefer was like this about. And they'll be like hiding in there, and they're like, well, hopefully we'll have a chance to talk now. And then like 5 minutes later, Brayden will find his way in the Expedia room. And then it'll be another like half hour to an hour before they're able to find their way out of that one to go try and talk somewhere else. And Jed is fed up with it. He says, this guy does not pick up on any social cues. He just follows us everywhere we go. I need to send him home this week. I can't handle it.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of rationalizing why you may want to target someone who you otherwise also know may be a good option for you to get out. Like, oh, like I need to feel better about this. So I find it annoying that they're always there, because otherwise, like, Brayden's not doing much wrong socially. Yeah, he may be walking in. I know that Tina talks to him, like, you know, you got to enjoy your alone time, which I also could see from Tina being like a let me do the talking and you sink your own ship by staying alone. So like a bunch of times. So it's tough. He's kind of in a no-win situation there, where like he has to make these social bonds, and because everyone else is already
Scally unfortunately not great at staying in every room for as long as possible, but yeah, it's a tough spot for Brayden, but at the end of the day, I think that, you know, creating and maintaining social bonds are, it's always a balance, right? You are either, you need to spend time with people, but you need to also be able to know when you are not wanted, when you maybe need to take a step back and let them have their own space. And I can say that, you know, obviously it feels like, oh, come on, give him a break. What else is he supposed to do? It's all like, having watched the feeds, it is a little much. It is a little much from Brayden. It really is, like, you could probably put it on a timer. If the trio are talking, you could probably put it on a timer and say, well, how long is it going to be until Brayden walks in? It's a lot here. Scally is back. He's found his way back into the room.
Yeah,
and so now we can't talk, just the two of us anymore. Sorry, guys.
Couldn't give you too much alone time. Had to show up, needed to make my move, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, Ty agrees with the notion, though. Ty says, look, Tina and Tara aren't gonna win anything. So if Tina, Tara, or Kiefer win the veto, because we wouldn't want to use the veto ourselves, that's a bit savage, but if Tina, Tara, or Kiefer win the veto, maybe we can make something happen. Maybe we can make this Brayden backdoor happen.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, Tina and Tara definitely are a pair, and like that is two votes out of what will be six next week. But at the same time, if you're controlling HOH, that's not such a big problem. So it really comes down to, are they scared of Tina and Tara in competitions next week? And it doesn't seem like it is the case at this moment.
Yeah. So Jed is going to talk with Beth. They're both going to complain some more about Brayden always jumping into conversations. He says the thing too is that I feel like Canada would give Brayden a power. Canada probably likes Brayden. Brayden would probably get a power. That's dangerous as well. If one of the nominees come down, we have to make this move. Brayden has to go up now.
Yeah, I mean, that skip the slot pass, always dangerous to win, you know, get labeled as a fan favorite. I think Brayden's personality alone, you could see him being very popular with the audience, but always a danger.
Yeah. So Kiefer's going to fill Tina in on the fact that the backdoor Brayden plan, he thinks it's going to work. He thinks it'll be okay. He thinks the Tara will be okay. They just need to make sure the veto plays out in a certain way. They may not do it on their own. But if the veto is won, this is similar to the Vic situation. Brayden may end up going on the block. Tina says, well, be careful, because I think they see you as a, like a trio with us. Like they see you working with us. Just be careful, Kiefer. Okay. Okay. But don't worry. We're going to make this Brayden thing happen.
No, Kiefer is so confident. He's like, oh, I'll throw the veto to you if I can. Don't worry about it. Like Kiefer is a little bit high on his own supply this week. He's feeling very confident. Sunsetters,
greatest alliance of all time.
Yeah, definitely. And Kiefer is the head of that alliance. Nothing can go wrong for him at this point.
Nothing can go wrong. Tina and Tara are going to be nominated for eviction. And then they're going to talk a bit together. Tara says that, Tara's going to talk with Beth. Tara's going to make a pitch to Beth after being nominated. And she says, look, yes, I said that I would put up Jed and Ty. But what I didn't say is that the reason I wanted one of them out is because, first of all, they need to be split up. But second, most importantly, I wanted to be able to work more closely with you. And Beth is like, yeah, I've been meaning to like get the girls together. I'm totally on the same wavelength. I'm definitely willing to look at other options. I know my position in the game right now. And Tara says, you should know because those boys have all the credit on the other side of the house. I know. I've talked to those people. Ro talked about it all the time. Obviously, Vic is not going to vote against the guys. She's going to vote for the boys over you. And they're going to be able to say that Vic was their move because it didn't really feel like your move. This is all true. I completely think this is all true because it really didn't feel like Beth's move. It definitely helped Beth get some credit because it was much more in her interest than the guys. But the way that it was executed was so couched in the trio. And the fact that she was going back and forth and discussing it constantly with the guys did not make it seem like her move. It made it seem like she was only willing to do it if the guys gave her the okay, which is kind of true and not a great look.
Yeah, I mean, even if she were to receive full credit for that one move, I think she still is going to need a little bit more to overcome just the perception that is around like the trio and who is in charge there and who is really pulling the strings. But you know what? It's good to see that Tara has somehow learned how to make a coherent pitch that actually seems to work, has had a history of basically, you know, telling the voters that she needs, that she'll put them up next week. So at least now she has figured out what she actually needs to say and is pitching to Beth correctly here.
Yeah. She's had to learn. She's had to make lots of pitches this season and she has slowly gotten better at it. But it also is one of these things where it's like she's gotten good at cleaning up her own messes in some way. Right. So it's pretty funny. But she says, look, I know I'm not winning this game. I get it. I wish that I could play the game you're playing, Beth. I wish I had a chance to win this game, but nobody's going to vote for me. I know this. And the reason I was upset with Vic is because when she said, I don't deserve to be here, like, that's how I feel. And I don't like admitting that on television. Like, these are deep feelings that I don't talk about in my life. I haven't even talked to my family about these feelings of inadequacy. But like, this is where I'm at in this game. Like, they've brought it out of me. And I don't feel like I deserve to be here. And I don't think I'm going to win this game. But that's fine. I'm not here for the experience. I don't want to go to jury. I don't need to party with everyone. I'm 39 years old or however old she is. I don't remember. I've got kids. I don't need to party in the jury house. I'm here for money. And if I can get 20K for second place, if I can get 20 grand, that's amazing. I would love 20 grand. I would love to sit next to you and get 20 grand. And that's why you need me here. I'm the only person who's going to take you to the end that you can beat. I can't go with Tina. Tina's not taking me. Tina's getting taken. I understand that. She understands that. We're basically competing for second place. So give me the opportunity to take you to the end. This is your move. This is your play. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, and you always ideally would want to see everyone playing to win, playing the game to get exactly first place and not to be the runner up. But with the case where Tara's on the block. Like, this is still very self-interested. It's her staying in the game, giving her a better chance. Like, she can't win if she's not there. And I think against Beth or against against Beth is a better chance than against a number of other people in the house. So she is still working her way towards one of the better scenarios for her in this house, even if she recognizes that may not be entirely a great scenario for her anyway.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you can't win comps, like, there's only so much you can do. And so playing up the fact that you can't win in the end, whether it's true or not, is really the only way to go. And it's a strategy that dates back all the way to Big Brother 2, right? Mm-hmm. It's just because it is true at one point in the game does not mean it will always be true. And if you can keep yourself in the game one more week, then that's what it is. So Beth seems very receptive to this pitch. It is actually probably Tara's strongest pitch thus far. She did a pretty good one against Vic last week as well, by the end of the week. And Beth is in. She says, all right, well, let's not tell anybody about this conversation. Tara's like, of course not. We would never tell. They both immediately tell. Yeah. But it's okay. Beth is going to go to the cameras and she says, I think I need to keep Tara. I've been playing this game so well. I'm lying to everyone. I think I need to keep Tara. This is my HOH to run. Whatever I say goes.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like pretty much right after the double eviction, we had seen that Beth had recognized, like, I need to make moves that are good for me, not for the trio, and got a little bit away from that. So it's nice to see that this conversation with Tara, like, got her back on track. She recognizes what she needs to do rather than what the trio needs to do.
Yeah. She has this weird way of going about it, though, that, like, so last week when she takes out Vic, it's what's best for her, not what's best for the guys. But she's not willing to do it without having the guys on board. And she seems also unwilling to lie to the guys and trick the guys into being on board. So, and she's also unwilling to, like, put her foot down and, like, guilt them into doing it. Like, it's almost like she can't actively make a move that's in her own best interest and not their best interest. She has to just kind of, like, hope that it goes in that way, direction, right? Like, she's like, I don't know, guys, I'm 50-50. I could go either way. What about you guys? What do you think? And then, like, knowing that they just, like, they're basically like a wheel of fortune where there's two options and they're just, like, spinning it. And it just cycles between the two options. She just keeps spinning it until it lands on the one she wants. And she's like, are we here? And then it switches again. And she's like, okay, we'll keep spinning. We'll keep spinning. Mm-hmm. I think we found the one I want again. And so what she does is she straight up tells them about everything that Tara said, that Tara's fine with getting second place. That she's willing to bring Beth. She's like, I mean, that's obviously great for me, but obviously that doesn't matter for us, like, because I'm still with you guys. She's telling them that she's getting the advantage from this. The problem is that they just don't care. The reason they would make this move is because they don't think Tara would win anything anyway. And so when she tells them about her conversation with Tara, she says she thinks they should get rid of Brayden. They're Jed and Ty are like, that's exactly what we've been talking about. We just need to bet on ourselves. And we'd rather bet that we can win the next competition than leave in somebody who can possibly beat us.
Yeah. Beth could do better for herself by being just a little bit less honest. Like, she's making it harder for herself and also making sure that she gets less credit in the end all at the same time. Yeah. Not great, because, like, just leave out the part where Tara wants to take you to final two. Don't need to say that. It doesn't need to be told to them. You can tell her all the rest and, like, the same thing is going to be accomplished.
Tina's going to fill Tara, or Tara's going to fill Tina in on the conversation as well. She thinks they can pull off this Brayden back door. Tina's going to go to Kiefer and talk to him for a bit. He's still feeling pretty good about making the final six and making it to the end. Tina's going to talk about how they should go to the final two together. She's been working on Kiefer for a little while now, trying to get him to take her to the final two, saying, wouldn't it be great? Two captains come in together, they leave together. Kiefer is on board. Tina's also going to move over to Ty and start working on him as well, pushing the Brayden agenda. He's already down for it, so it works out. He says that they will use the veto, don't worry. And they start talking about how they can't believe they've come this far. You know, Tina starts talking about how she never trusted Vic, and Ty's like, I didn't either. We're so alike, Ty. I really feel like I can like relate to you a lot. I feel like we think very similarly. You know, it's down to a point where we should start talking about scenarios. And Ty's like, absolutely. I know what's going on. Jed and Beth, they're in a relationship. I'm going to need other people. You and I can work well toward the end of this game. So Tina is starting to try to clean up some final two deals here.
Yeah, and this is good for both Tina and Ty. Like, very encouraged to see that he recognizes that he should not be sitting at the end with ideally either Beth or Jed, so that he can really claim the moves. Like, these are all mine. They are not who I am with. I am not sharing the credit with who I am next to. Don't know how exactly he would stack up against Beth, but if Jed continues to win these competitions, we already know that the jury has been saying they want a balanced game, which includes comp wins for most juries, but seems like specifically this one also, which, yeah, Ty has the one and hopefully can rack up a couple more, but I don't know that he is in the, it's a harder road at the very least against Jed, and I'm glad to see that he's recognizing that.
Yeah, so I hope that this is Ty being real, but I don't think it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think that this has kind of been Ty's MO for a little while. We've seen him doing it with Kiefer a lot, and he's already made a final two deal with Kiefer. That's why Kiefer feels so good with Ty. And the line has always been, hey, you know, they're a couple. I know that they're going to choose each other. I'm going to have to do something else. Now, with Kiefer, it's become kind of untenable. And maybe he recognizes that, and maybe he's you know, maybe he's pivoting, and maybe he recognizes that because they plan on taking Tina to the final four, that is the road forward. It's still like, if he goes to the final, that's still not the best position in the world there for Ty, even if he was fully willing to take Tina to the final two, because him or Tina would need to win the final four veto. And they're going to be competing against Beth and Jed, which is a tough spot to begin with. And then all it takes is for them to not win that, and all of a sudden he is in the final three with Jed and Beth, which I'm not entirely sure is really against what he wants anyway. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I do hope that he means this, and honestly, I hope that he does something soon, because he is running out of time, I think, here. As we approach this end game.
Exactly. I just feel like when you get it, let's say Tina's in the final four with them, I feel like you get to a point where like it's just so obvious in front of you, and if you don't recognize it at that point, like, you can't be helped. The problem is recognizing it before that point, when you actually do have enough time to do something. And like you said, that time is starting to approach very rapidly, where the clock is ticking.
And let's be real, if Beth has the final four veto, is she evicting Tina over Ty? Yeah.
She knows, especially, she's had conversations where she knows that like one of the better moves for her would be like single-handedly being shown as evicting one of the two guys. And if Beth has her choice, that's going to be Ty. Like, she may know that Jed is the bigger threat potentially in terms of balanced game again, but I think that, you know, she's going Ty there all the way,
and they're all fans of the Pretty Boys. I'm concerned that Ty might get Adams.
Yeah,
even by
that
Jed.
Is a big concern. I would hate to see it. I love Ty. Feel like I've been playing well, especially right at this end game, and I am very nervous for that scenario for sure.
That would be brutal. Oh, it'd be so brutal.
Yeah, I am really crossing my fingers that is not the case.
Yeah, I think Beth would do it. I think Jed would be more inclined to bring Ty to the final three, because Jed knows that Ty will take him, right? So I think Jed has a lot less incentive to do it, but you never fully know with Jed.
Yeah,
you never
and
fully
I think
know.
I think Jed knows, like, in the, you know, how whatever percent scenario where Tina wins that final three HOH, like, she's not taking Jed. Like, at least Ty takes him there, and like, he feels like he has a good argument to be winning over Ty.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Well, we are going to get to the veto draw, and this is bad news for Brayden because he is the only person not playing in the veto. He has no chance to save himself from this back door. And so we go into this veto with basically everyone playing pretty much willing to go ahead and make this shot on Brayden. The feeds go down for quite a while for the veto competition. And when they come back up, we see that Tara has won the power of veto. And it seems like it is lights out here for Brayden, except the conversation between Ty, Jed, and Beth is about Kiefer. And apparently they were talking to Tara and she was telling them things about Kiefer, and they're saying, we'd love to ask Tara what her thoughts would be about this, because we need to know what she would have to say. Tina obviously wouldn't want this, but we need to talk to Tara. And Beth says, I don't know. I don't want to let Tara know that she's the one that made this happen, though. They go, well, if Kiefer goes up, he has to go home. Are we 50-50 between Keef and Brayden right now? Ty says, it's Keef. Jed says, it's Keef.
Yeah, what? This was wild to come back to. Like, feeds are down for a while. First of all, Tara, first woman of the season to win the power of veto. Comps have been pretty balanced this year, but at least worth pointing out. And then for them to come back and all of a sudden, like, they're all on board for nominating and evicting Kiefer, like, big whiplash from what happened. I know that Beth talks about how, like, all right, guys, I think we let our, like, annoyance with Brayden really get to us, and, like, maybe we're making the wrong move. So I'm glad that they have woken up. But wow, this is a much more exciting week that we have on our hands.
It's, I mean, look, I always expected them to waffle. I didn't expect them to make a decisive betrayal move, right? Like, yeah. I thought that they would consider this at the start of the week. And I said that I actually thought it might be the right move for them collectively. Now we'll talk about individually who it's best for and who it's not best for. But then it just was never even talked about at all. It was like, should we maybe do Brayden? And it slowly became, yes, we should do Brayden. And then it went from, yes, we should do Brayden, to, well, if we're doing Brayden, we might as well do Kiefer. There it is. They're like, should we tell him? Well, we'll have to tell him. We should talk to Brayden too and say that, hey, we're doing this to protect you. We have all the reason in the world to put you up, Brayden. You've been working against us all season, but instead, we're putting up Kiefer, our ally. So that'll make you trust us, right?
Oh, God. I mean, it starts. Jed seemingly claims that he wasn't even considering this until Kiefer made an offhand comment like, haha, as long as you don't put me up. And Jed's like, oh, what if I did put him up? Like, OK, not great. Like, we have seen that Jed, like the last thing that's in his mind is what he's going to do. Don't make a joke about it because it will happen. So not ideal there. And like they discuss, like, why didn't Kiefer tell us about Victoria being the invisible HOH? Why hasn't he brought us like as much on pre-90s? So I think that Kiefer's game is starting to catch up with him, despite his conversation with Tina talking about how actually I've been running the trio and like I'm gonna win, and Tina, I would love for you to get second place to me. So it was big whiplash for Kiefer yesterday.
Yeah. And even Beth, who like wanted this to happen, is like, oh man. They're like, Beth, are you really down for this? Like, you don't seem down for this. She's like, I'm down for it. It's just so savage. Like, this is 80 times worse than Vic. Like, Vic did us dirty. Kiefer has not done us dirty.
Yeah,
he has been so loyal to us. He has been doing so much work for us, and we're doing this too. I'm down for it, but man,
that double. I know he is so happy. Like, if I go to jury, I am just gonna make fun of Ro, and I'm so happy I got him out. And I wonder how he's gonna feel about that if he sees Ro next week. If he's gonna be able to bond with him a little more against the trio, since he did their dirty work in the double eviction just last week.
This is probably one of the most savage moves in the history of the show, for Big Brother Canada, at least. Mm-hmm. Especially like Kiefer has been, and I talked about this early on, right? Like, before Kiefer was even on the block, during the Toya week, the very first week of feeds, I was saying, man, they don't seem to respect Kiefer very much. Like, Kiefer brought up the idea, what if we get rid of Ro? Nobody cares. Ty brings it up. Oh, let's consider the idea of flipping the vote and getting rid of Ro. And then, of course, it doesn't end up happening, which nearly screws them over. But, from that point forward, it was always like they just don't respect Kiefer in the game. Head into the next week. He's the HOH eventually. And he makes a move that they vote against him, first of all, in the previous week against Toya. But he's fine with it. He doesn't care. He goes straight back to them. And he does a ton of work for them that week. And all of a sudden they're his best friend. And I'm still saying, I don't think they respect him. They're talking about doing things that aren't what he wants to do this week. They're talking about going against him and keeping Kyle and Ro. They clearly don't respect him in the game. And then the second he's out of power, it's see you later, Kiefer. And it's just been the dynamic all season long. They've just used this guy to great effect. I applaud them greatly. And I do think this is the right move. But it's so savage, and it's so Big Brother, and I love it. And really, I've been saying all season long as well, Kiefer should be able to see this. He should be able to see that they don't respect him. And while I'm not Ro and Kyle saying they voted against you, obviously you can't work with them, I was on this podcast saying they don't respect you in this game. You can't be too loyal to them. You need to find the time to break away. Don't be too loyal. I was concerned in the episode when I heard him say it's too late to turn back now. I've got to stay true to the Sunsetters, because he needed to be able to pivot away from them at some point. And that double eviction should have been the point, right? The problem is that he put himself in a hole with Ro, where he had to get Ro out because he had made such an enemy of Ro. And Ro wasn't even that big of an enemy, because even though he was so against Ro, Ro was so logical that he didn't care. He still would have gone after the triangle. He still would have done that. Now, because of everything else, it put him in a weird spot if Ro was still in the game. But Kiefer couldn't make it happen. That's it. I mean, Kiefer goes from potential front runner of the game, one of the front runners at least, maybe at least a dark horse, to out just like that if this goes through.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the week where he's on the block against LaToya, and they're blatantly, he's in the room and they're like, all right, so when you go home this week, we're going to then going forward talk. And like, it was very clear that he was not super important to their game. Like, he, like, yeah, it's nice. The next week he wins HOH, they do what he wants. Kiefer really had no business winning the double eviction HOH, had no need to win there. Could have been playing this week on a week where he was in much more danger once Ro was out of that house. So it was ultimately like his vendetta against Ro that was not returned at all from the other side that has put him in this position. And sadly, it seems like he's not able to recognize it at all when it should not be this, you know, under the radar for him.
Especially sadly. Like, wasn't Ty in second place in that double?
I believe it was down to Jed, Beth and Kiefer, right?
It was Jed. I thought it was Ty.
Yeah, but I think Ty went out on in that big group. That all got eliminated on like the second or third question.
Well, wasn't it points?
Or am I? Oh, yeah. You're right. Ty was Ty was in second. My bad.
Either way. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that like Ro was out of it at that point. Braden was out of it. That Braden got two wrong. Ro got a couple wrong. So I really feel like just give it up to Ty. Let Ty take out Ro. And now you're competing in the next stage. And this is the week to turn on them, right? Help Tina, Tara, and Braden in this competition. Maybe not Braden entirely, but Kiefer would have been in a great spot. Depending on what this HOH was, if it was like too physical, maybe you needed to be a little bit worried about that. If this wasn't overly physical, and there was a chance, if it was just kind of like put balls in people's things, Kiefer's going to win that, because Kiefer, yeah, Nobody's going to put balls in Kiefer's thing. The trio is going to go after Tina, Tara, and Braden probably. Tina, Tara, and Braden are going to go after, or maybe not Braden, but Tina and Tara are going to go after the trio. And Kiefer is going to be the one in the middle who can win that kind of competition. And then that is the time to take the shot. And he still, I don't think, would have taken the shot at that point. And, you know, that's the thing here. So
yeah, that's the problem. He's still talking about Sunsetters to Final Five, and Sunsetters has not been a thing for very long in many other people's minds. So he has not woken up to that fact about like 5-6 weeks too late.
Yeah. So Jed is going to talk to Braden, and that's how quickly this got rolling here. Braden is already in on the plan. Jed, now, the way that Jed pitches this to Braden, I think Braden caught it, but I can't be sure. He says, all right, Braden, so we've been thinking, and basically, you know, we could put you up on the block as a replacement, but we would like to put Kiefer on the block as a replacement. And that's because we were thinking about next week, we would rather it be 4-2 than 3-3. And Braden's like, wait, what? What is that? What do you mean 4-2? So like, you would be with us against Tina and Tara next week, as opposed to, you know, 3-3. Because the implication there, right, is that they never had any intention of getting rid of Tara, and that they're making a decision between evicting Kiefer or evicting Braden. Because it's only 3v3 if it's Kiefer, Tina, and Tara. And it's only 4v2, because if they're assuming that Braden is on their side, it would be 4v2 no matter what, as long as Braden stayed. So he's giving it away that they're making a decision between Braden and Kiefer. And Braden made a point of being like, what do you mean by those numbers? Which makes me think that he caught it too. But again, you can't be sure.
Yeah, I mean, this would be extra bad for Jed. It's not super surprising from Jed, but Beth and Braden also have a talk where Beth is preparing him for the talk with Jed and being like, basically, you were the target this week, but we're moving towards Kiefer, so you probably want to start pushing for that. So she's prepared him. I think Braden is probably, you know, on guard a little bit since then. But luckily, Braden, even if he picks up on it, does a pretty good job here saying like, oh, I have no interest in working with Tina and Tara moving down the line. Like, why would I attach myself to a sinking ship? Stuff like that. So Jed, one to put his foot in his mouth, done it before, will do it again, I'm sure. But luckily for Braden, it's about surviving this week more so than actually locking up a final four with Jed, I think, at this point. So keep playing that game, Brandon.
I mean, it's what gives me hope, because like, I can't imagine a world where Braden wins the HOH next week and puts Tina or Tara up on the block. I just can't imagine that world. It would be such a fessy filled world. Like I would never have imagined that we'd find another fessy named Braden. And I can't imagine that he would do it. But we have just, it's been radio silence from Braden. We get no camera talks from him. He spends all of his time following the triangle around, so he's never talking with Tina and Tara. And I haven't heard any diary rooms from him in a while. Ro's gone, so he can't bounce ideas off of Ro anymore. And I'm just concerned, because he's been throwing competitions, possibly. He's been helping him win HOHs, possibly. But it all could be in my head. It'll all be in anybody's head. He could be secretly just still going after them, and that's what I imagine he's doing. But you don't know for sure. You just never know for sure. He just started playing the game last week, so I barely know who he is as a player. And I'm just like, please, Braden, do not tell me that you would actually go after Tina or Tara at the final six when you have those other three in the game. Please tell me you would not do that. I don't think he would do that. I want to be clear that I do not think he will do that, but he might. And I don't like not knowing.
That question being there is so scary. Like, we have one fessy is enough on the challenge. We don't need another. I don't think that Braden would do it either. But the problem is, like you said, Braden's a cam talk. Even if he gets the DRs, can't really trust that that's 100% what he's actually thinking. And Braden doesn't have a number one in this house anymore, like at all. Like, he started working on Beth, but it's not as if he's going to tell Beth that that's his plan, even if it is, because Beth has shown time and time again that even if it's not in her best interest, she will run it back to Jed and Ty. So for Braden, like, no matter what he's thinking, he's not going to vocalize it to anyone in this house, and probably the better move. Like, it was not a good draw for Braden to be the only person not playing in that veto, but at the same time, it's one more competition where he wasn't getting second or third. So it allowed them to forget that, you know, for one time, like, oh, actually Kiefer is the one who's doing well in these competitions, maybe not Braden. So he is really, you know, if he's going into the final six, needs to have his head screwed on straight for playing against four other people in that HOH. Hopefully he can pull it out, but I'm nervous for Braden here.
Yeah, my theory on Braden is that, yes, he may have thrown the double eviction HOH because he felt like he didn't need it, and he was wrong, but he felt like he didn't. And yes, he may have helped, you know, Jed win the HOH, but only because he felt like he couldn't win in the first place. I think that when he's not, when he doesn't have any power, he's playing scared. And that's okay. You know, especially if he had no chance of winning, or maybe he was just wrong again, right? Maybe the playing scared is like clouding his judgment a little bit and tilting him more too much on the side of playing safe. And he should be trying to win a little bit more. But I think if he ever wins himself, I don't think he will be scared anymore. I think he will make the move, and we'll see a different Braden. But really, the mistakes that have already been made very well could have sealed his fate already. So we'll just have to see. He is pretty much, you know, the target potentially heading into next week, even if he does survive this week. You know, it's just a tricky spot here for him, but he says he's down to take Kiefer out. He's in.
Yeah. And, you know, good on Braden for recognizing what he needs to do and get on board. Very interested to see if there was a Braden HOH in the future, how that would work. Also would be very interested if there was a Beth HOH. He should really know at this point. He really has to go to work hard. And will he just, you know, make that one final push? But all eyes are on Braden after this week, it seems.
Yeah. So Tina and Tara start speculating. They think that it's possible that the trio may take a shot at Kiefer. Tina hopes not, but she could see it happening. She should be okay to stay in the game either way, but she knows that the trio likes to flip-flop, so it just makes her uncomfortable. And she'd prefer to be on the block against Braden just because she would rather keep Kiefer around if she could. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think it's partially wanting to keep Kiefer, but also a lot of she feels a lot safer on the block against Brayden. Seems like a more locked in vote there, whereas Kiefer versus Tina could flip flop. I don't know that ultimately, it does not seem that that will be the case. They seem pretty locked in, but this is the trio. We never know. So I think Tina is probably right to want to lock in her spot. But in terms of Tina's winning chances, I don't know that Kiefer staying in the game is very much of a help for her at that point.
Mm-hmm. Jed and Beth are going to talk a bit more as well. They talk about the how savage the move is. There are some weird, like awkward moments between Jed and Beth throughout the day. There's just like, as things get closer to the end, you know, there's talk about like, you know, you're not going to snake me, right? Like, why would you even ask that? I'm just joking, you know. Like, yeah, but are you joking? Like, well, no, of course I'm just joking. I mean, if you snaked me, I wouldn't be joking, but yeah, I'm just joking, but it doesn't seem like you're joking. I don't know, just pointing out some weird, it's this thing that happens. I don't think it'll lead to anything, but it's this thing that happens in Big Brother. There's just a little bit of tension of like, can we really trust each other as things are coming down to it?
Yep. And I get the temptation is there, but stop asking that question because it puts in the other person's mind that it's in your mind. So stop for, you know, stop showing your hand. Stop telling them that you're thinking about it. And if it's not in their mind already, you're making them think about it. So stop asking.
Yeah. So that was pretty much the day. Scally, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, I just, you know, ends on what Kiefer in talking about with the pre-90s, like we need to win HOH next week. And I think they have a decent idea at this point. Like, sure you do. Like, we'll see how that goes. Very interested for today. Give me that veto ceremony. I am ready. If it's not, you know, I was hoping that we would see veto ceremony today on the screen. I don't believe that that is the case so far, but, yeah, I am very, very excited for that one.
Yes. Well, I should say, so first of all, why did they switch to Kiefer? They seemed to imply that not only did Kiefer make a weird comment, but that Tara was somehow involved. I'm not sure exactly how. I know that Tara had been talking about Kiefer a little bit prior to the feeds going down, but I'm wondering if there was another talk that happened while the feeds were down about Kiefer. We also have to consider the fact that, yes, the veto ceremony may be tomorrow. From today. So like a full day, like after, it might be Monday. So we might not talk about it until Tuesday. And if that is the case, then there is a lot of time for Kiefer to turn this around, especially considering the fact that the Sunsetters, the trio, do plan on letting Kiefer know ahead of time before he is put on the block that he will be going on the block. And we know how this goes, right? They like to flip flop. And if Kiefer can make a compelling case, an emotional compelling case for why he should not be going on the block, I absolutely could see him talking himself off of it and getting Brayden up instead. I don't think it takes Dan Gieseling in this house. I think it takes anybody with vocal cords and tear ducts. So we'll just have to wait and see if it actually goes through. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, just like with Vic, like you're too far in. Like at the point where you're telling Brayden, like, here's what we want to do. Yeah, you can't walk this back. You've told basically everyone in the house. Jed's talking like, oh, Tina and Tara said Kiefer is their number one. Brayden is confirming that Kiefer is talking game with him, despite denying ever talking game with him. Like they're telling everyone, you can't walk this back, because if Kiefer wasn't going to be against you next week, like he definitely is now. It's way too far down the line for them to change it, but does not stop the trio in all cases.
Yeah. So that's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. I imagine that they will tell Kiefer at some point today, but they may wait until tomorrow. We will have to see for that. It just may get out. So who knows? We may be in for some interesting stuff for tomorrow's update. Tomorrow night we will be live with the Monday night episode recap, so make sure you tune in for that as well. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be live tomorrow night watching the episode prior to the podcast. I'll also be live later today playing some Among Us. with Puya and the crew. Scally is occasionally there. I don't know if he will. Yes, he will be there. All right. So that'll be fun. You can watch. You can watch Scally lie to me.
And vice versa.
What? Scally, I never lie in that game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
So it's a lot of fun. Make sure you come and hang out there. And yeah, that's pretty much what we've got. The Circle US on Netflix will be starting this week. So make sure you tune in for that coverage as well. Scally, where can people find you?
Well, anything I'm doing, I'll talk about over on Twitter at Ryan_Scally. You know, talking about Big Brother, if also going to continue talking about the challenge over on the Dom and Colin podcast with Matt Liguori. So if you're looking for even more challenge coverage past the RHAP wrap up, definitely check that out. All Stars has been a ton of fun, a short little run. People should jump in on that if they have not already. And then also we'll be guesting on the Bitter Jurors podcast to talk about season 3 episode of Avatar. So people should definitely also check that one out as well.
All right. Well, thank you guys once more for joining us today, and I will see you all next time.